Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Cheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Nasta Prayeshu Vabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shlokir. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtakir. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 11, Jat Bharat instructs King Rahugana, text number 10. Please repeat. Ganda Akriti Sparsha Rasa Shravamshi Fizarka Rati Arti Abhijalpa Shilpaha Ekadasam Svikaranam Mama Iti Shayam Aham Dvadasam Eke Ahu Ganda Kriti Sparsha Rasa Sravangsi Visarka Ratyarti Abhijalpa Silpaha Ekadasang Svikaranam Ameti Shayam Ahang Dvadasam Eka Ahu Gandakriti Sparsha Rasa Sravangsi Visarga Ratyartya Abhijalpa Silpaha Ekadashang Svikaranang Mameti Shayam Ahang Dvadasam Eka Ahu Ganda Kriti Sparsha Rasa Sravangsi Visarka Rati Arti Abhijalpa Silpaha Ekarasang Svikaranam Ameti Sayang Ahang Dvadasam Eka Ahu Ekadasam Svikaranam Ameti Kandarka Kriti Sparsarasa Sravangsi Visarka Rati Arpi Alpi Jalpa Silpaha Ekadasang Svikaranang Mameti Sayam Aham Dvadasam Eka Ahu Kandakriti Sparsarasa Sravangsi Gandakriti sparsa rasa sravangsi Visarkarati arti abhijalpa shilpaha Ekadasang svikaranang mameti Svayam ahang dvadasam eka ahu Kandakriti sparsa rasa sravangsi Visarkarati arti abhijalpa shilpaha Ekadasang svikaranang mameti Shayam ang dvadasam eka ahu Ganda Smell Akriti Form Sparsha Touch Rasa Taste Shravangshi And sound Visarga Evacuating Rati Sexual intercourse Arti Movement Abhijalpa Speaking Silpaha Grasping or releasing Ekadasam 11th Svikaranam Accepting as Mama Mine Iti Thus Sayang This body Aham I Dvadasham 12th Eke Some Ahu Have said Translation Sound, touch, form, taste and smell are the objects of the five knowledge acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuating and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are different objects for the 11 items. Through the nose, we can smell. By the eyes, we can see. By the ears, we can hear. And in this way, we gather knowledge. Similarly, there are the karmendriyas, the working senses. The hands, the legs, genitals, rectum, mouth, and so forth. When the false ego expands, it makes one think, this is my body, family, society, country, etc. Om agyanati manandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena butle svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapanantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetang Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Haripriye, Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gandakriti Sparsa Rasa Sravangsi, Visarkaratyarti Abhijalpa Silpaha, ekadasam svikaranam mameti shayam aham dvadasam eka ahu. So it's a little bit different from what I know from Bhagavad Gita, the way Jack Barrett is explaining the material nature, specifically the body. So I will focus a little bit on that, on what's described in Bhagavad Gita, mainly about the 24 elements, and then I will speak a little bit about the mind and the soul, where it comes from, about fall down of the soul, fall down from the spiritual worlds, from original position. And then I will try and explain a little bit, was already a little bit explained yesterday by Gopinath Acharya, but I'll elaborate a little bit more on how we can get out, what is the solution for the mind. Mind is accepting and rejecting, and of course, the solution is we accept Krishna, but I will elaborate a little bit on it, and we'll read a few things from Prabhupada's lecture, one lecture and one conversation, and hopefully I can end at 8:30 or otherwise a little bit longer, not later than 8:45. I will just read it again because, like I said, it's a little bit different from what I've learned in Bhagavad Gita. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. So that is basically the same. These are the objects of the knowledge-acquiring senses. So there is five knowledge-acquiring senses, starting with the ear, is related to sound. Then the skin, which is related to touch. Oh, thank you. Then the eyes, which is related to form and fire. Then the tongue, which is related to taste and water. And then smell, the nose, which is related to smell, and the earth. So that are the five knowledge-acquiring senses, and here Jad Bharat is describing the objects of the knowledge-acquiring senses. Then he continues, speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. So the working senses are generally described as, well, let me just follow what the order of Jad Bharat. Speech is the that is actually also like that, is like the mouth, because you have the tongue is tasting, but it's also vibrating, so that is a working sense, that is how it's described. Anyway, you have the, because I'm getting a little bit confused now, you have the genitals, that is of course sexual intercourse. Then you have the anus or rectum, that is here described as evacuating. Right, and then you have the legs, that is of course movement. And then you have the hands or arms, that is here described by Jad Bharat as their object is touching. So the hands touch and the legs, they move. The voice speaks, the rectum evacuates, and the genitals, their object is sexual intercourse. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Generally it's described in Bhagavad Gita that we have eight main elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's how it's described by Lord Krishna. Here, it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit more intricate and more, yeah, Jagat Bharat is giving us more insight how it actually works, and I'll be honest, it's a little bit above me. The mind is quite a complicated thing. It's a material thing, generally is understood like that. Yeah, Sariputta, he wrote a book about it called Maya, and it's a quite a controversial book, because in that book he's trying to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, kind of scientifically, that the mind exists. And he gives different examples of, like I said, it's quite controversial, of certain, of different government agencies that are actually very much aware that the mind exists. They have done experiments of like remote viewing, especially in the 50s and the 60s. They were training people, and they could see different, you know, bases in Russia. They could describe it, and then they would, of course, you know, put an airplane on top of it or something, and make pictures, and then it would corroborate. It would be the same. And they did other experiments, like they would put a man in front of a board, and it would have like all kinds of nails, and they would just like marbles would just go through it. So generally you would think that the marbles would just go straight, and that is generally what happens. But the experiment was, they would put a man in front of these marbles, and he would look at it, and I don't know if he would specifically concentrate that it would go like that, but there was a significant difference if somebody would look at the marbles and if somebody didn't. So some other, because of the mind, the marbles would some other fall a little differently. So these different experiments, how they could prove that the mind actually exists. And it also, in one sense, proves that the mind is material. But of course we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that in one sense the mind isn't necessarily always being material. Because the way I understand it is that the mind needs to be purified. That's why Krishna is saying, man mana, you think of me. So with the mind, mana means mind. So the mind and the soul, they come from the spiritual world. And now Prabhupada says that we don't know why we left or why we fell down. But sometimes Prabhupada would elaborate on it, and he said it was because of our desire to lord it over, our desire to become Krishna. And because of that desire, we think that we are important, that we are, like it's described here more or less, that we are in control, that we are more important than other devotees, and then we start making offenses. And then, gradually, if you don't correct yourself, like you have, for instance, Sautama Maharaj would give that example. You have, for instance, a pilot, airplane pilot, and they go from, I don't know, Amsterdam to New York. And there is a specific route that they follow. But it always gets a little different, because sometimes there is bad weather and this and that. And so he deviates from the course. But an expert pilot, he immediately puts it back as soon as possible. So that is kind of the idea. You can deviate a little bit, especially when we're in the material world, that it is expected, because material energy is made in such a way that it's kind of pushing us, and especially if we get into this mood, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, then the material energy has a way of crushing us. Like Prabhupada many times gives the example, where is Stalin, where is Hitler, where is Napoleon? We're all dead. You know, where are they now? So they got crushed. And of course, the materialists say, yeah, but the devotees also get crushed. Yes and no, because that is, like I said in the beginning, is the secret of Bhagavad Gita. If you think of Krishna, yam yam swapi smaram bhavam tayati ante kalevaram, that is where you will go. If you think of Krishna, then you go to Krishna. And if you think of your country or your body, then that is where you will end up. And Prabhupada explains that if you're not a devotee, then you don't know where you will end up. Tata dehantara praptir, you'll just get another body. But if you are a devotee, then suchinam srimatam gehe, then you will get a human body. You will get a body in a family of brahmanas or wealthy people. It's guaranteed. So our future looks actually very bright. But the more we get into this consciousness of this body, this is my society, the more we get crushed. And that material consciousness, that is something that we need to give up. And it's, like Prabhupada says, it's since time immemorial. The deviation must have started somewhere in the spiritual world, and it just carried on with us to the material world. And it's our duty, and if we're intelligent, like I explained, we have now this chance to become a devotee because we have a human body. If we end up, this is, Prabhupada calls this the greatest danger of human life, if we end up as a dog next life, then we cannot understand this philosophy, and we won't have a chance to go back to Krishna. Because that is actually another point that I should a little bit bring up, is that the main thing, and we actually explain that when we pray these prayers for the Bhagavatam, to get liberated is hearing. Hearing is such an important thing. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. It starts all with Sravanam. That is the main thing that we, and especially this Srimad Bhagavatam class. If we come to these classes and we take association of devotees, then we'll automatically get purified. Of course, Rasa Mandalay, he made a very nice point a few months ago. He said, this automatically, we have to look at it more closely. That is a fact. But still it will work. Even we can analyze automatically how it actually exactly works, but it doesn't matter. If you get into the fire, you get burned. You can analyze it, how do you get burned exactly, but you're going to get burned. And this is fire, this is a yajna. You know, I'm speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Sankirtan yajna, is a fire. And if you listen to it, you get purified. It doesn't matter if you understand. Even if you don't speak English, you'll still get purified. It's that powerful, because I'm reading Sanskrit and I'm just speaking transcendental knowledge, and it's that powerful. Even if you don't speak English, it will purify you, because ultimately it's on the level of the soul. So the way I understand it is the soul falls down, and the mind, as explained yesterday, it has these accepting and rejecting, sankalpa, vikalpa. That is the main thing of the mind. And of course, that will not end. When we're in the spiritual world, we also will be accepting and rejecting. But at the same time, and this is actually where I want to focus on now a little bit, a Krishna conscious person doesn't really do that, Prabhupada says. That was also yesterday explained by Gopinath Acharya, that we are conditioned and we're used to this accepting, rejecting, but we have to start giving this up. And he was explaining one solution to just... he also said it's by grace. And I want to focus on that. By grace of Guru and Hari. Grace of Guru and Krishna. And he also mentioned, and we can pray. We can pray that Krishna, you drag my mind to the spiritual world. Even though I'm unwilling, you just please drag my mind. This is the example that he gave from Rupa Goswami about the lotus. It's a very, very nice verse. that you put me in the whirl of the lotus of your lotus feet. So the soul, it comes down from the spiritual world, and then the subtle body it develops, kind of. How it exactly works, I'm not quite sure, but it, as far as I'm concerned, it already, to some extent, develops in the spiritual world. Because as soon as you think, you know, I am the doer, I am important, my service is more important than somebody else's service. And an important example I just want to share with you that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is that, and I told it a few times, but I will tell it again, is that this gopi, she comes to Lord Krishna and she has to give some note from Srimati Radharani. And Krishna, he makes some advances to her. But this gopi, she refuses. She says, no, I have to go to my mistress, I have to go to Radharani and report back. So she's refusing Krishna. So the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes is that everybody works under authority. And that we have to very much understand, and that was her humility. Her humility was, I'm the servant of Radharani, and I cannot now waste my time with you, Krishna. And that is the whole lila, that Krishna, he enjoys that she's actually refusing him. He's like all attractive, and you know, it's described that basically no women can resist him, but she's resisting him because of Radharani's order. And this is also the whole lila with Tulsi Devi, that she didn't get permission from Radharani, and that is why Radharani, we could say she got a little angry. Of course, when Radharani gets angry, the result is very, very auspicious, and Tulsi's position is very, very auspicious. Anyway, I don't want to deviate too much, but I'm just giving you some examples, how this fall down can happen and how to have the solution. Anyway, I want to a little bit explain more about these 24 elements, because I think it's really important. So the soul, it falls down, and it is described, you first become Lord Brahma and then Indra, and then it goes for the whole experience. I already described it a little bit. You have earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then mind, intelligence, ego. That's eight. And then you have the five senses. And I already explained it a little bit. The ears, they are related to sound. And that is related to ether. And then air is related to touch and skin. And then you have fire is related to form and the eyes. And then you have water is related to the tongue and taste, and then you have earth is related to the nose and smell. So like that is related. So that's 15 plus 3, mind, intelligence, ego, that's 18, and then you have the five working senses. Legs, hands, anus, genitals, and speech. And that's 23, and then you have the three modes of material nature. Yeah, there's not so much time now for that. Because Prabhupada gives a kind of a solution about the mind in the seventh chapter. Of course, it ends, sixth chapter ends, Yoginam apisarvisham matkaten antar atmanaha. That of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides of me, thinks of me within themselves, shravam bhajate omam, and renders transcendental loving service to me, same yuktatamo mataha. He is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So that is the yogi who thinks of Krishna. That is the ultimate yogi. And then Krishna continues. He says, now here, tat shrinu, here, again, hearing, very important. O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga, yogam yunjam, mat ashraya, in full consciousness of me, mind attached to me, asangsayang samagramam, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Yatag yasyasi, you can know me. So, we need to practice this this yoga, and then it says here, mind attached to me. That's the idea. And then I'll share it anyway. I'll go on a little longer because, yeah, I just want to explain these things. So then Prabhupada quotes this Srimad Bhagavatam. I will not read all the Sanskrit, just read a little bit. Srinvatam svakata Krishna, punya shravana kirtana, riranta sto yubadhrani, vidunoti suritsatam. That is from the second chapter of the first canto. Nasta prayeshva badreshu, I just read that. Nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttama shlokir, bhaktir bhavati naishtikir. And then, tada rajas tamo bhava, kama lovaryas chaye. So the translation is to hear about Krishna from Vedic literature, literatures, or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. So here's explained that Krishna is purifying the devotee who constantly hears from him. Krishna is sitting in the heart, and like that he's purifying us. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance. So that is very important. That is very, very important. And thus material lusts and avarice, avarice means like envy, are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the signs of God perfectly. So we have to understand the signs of God. This is very important. Thus, Bhakti Yoga severs the hard knot of material faction and enables one to come at once to the stage of Asangsayang Samagrayam. That is quoted from the seventh verse. Asangsayang Samagramam. Without a doubt, you will completely thinking of me. Understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. Such a poetry. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes the purport, therefore only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the signs of Krishna. So here Prabhupada is stressing this hearing. It's very, very important. So I'll just recap a little bit and then I'll try and end. So we have these 24 elements, and the soul is sometimes given as the 25th element, but that is kind of how it works. The soul enters these 24 elements, or I should say 23, and then you have these three modes. I'll just explain that, or Krishna just explained that, or actually Sukadeva Goswami from the Bhagavatam, that we have to transcend the mode of ignorance and passion. And we have to come to, as it's described there, pure goodness. So these modes, they kind of work this whole material energy. They're also called like gunas. Guna means rope. So we are kind of captured by these modes. And the only way to transcend that is to surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharma parityagya. You give up. Prabhupada explained it. He said, you give up religion that leads to sense gratification, and you give up religion where you renounce everything. This is like kind of the Mayavad. So there's two kinds of religion. This is how Prabhupada explains it. And it's again this sankalpa, vikalpa, accepting sense gratification, or just rejecting. It's also sometimes called bhoga, chak, enjoying, renouncing. So again, it's this accepting and rejecting. And what we need to do is and that is the whole point of Bhagavad Gita, we just need to simply surrender. And Krishna says that you can do what you want. He spoke about Bhagavad Gita and then he leaves it up to Arjuna. But then Arjuna simply said, Krishna Vachanam Tava, I will do whatever you said. And he started to fight. So Yeah, that is what we need to do. We need to surrender to Krishna, or as Prabhupada says, to his representative. And this is where it gets a little tricky. I must say, I mean, this class is also mainly just remind myself for my purification. I'm very much struggling with this. And I'll just read now one lecture and one conversation, especially the conversation. It really helped me a lot in my spiritual life. And this lecture, I found that quote yesterday, we were discussing it. Prabhupada mentions that if you're not enthusiastic, then you should take some rest. So that was the main quote, and I'll elaborate on it. I'll just give you the intro because it's quite important, and it also again relates back to these three modes of material nature, because the three modes also is explained in the 18th chapter. It kind of builds up these four varnas. So that is what this is about, and it's Madhavananda is reading from the Nectar of Devotion. The Vaishyas are meant for producing agriculture products, training them and distributing them. And the working class or Sudras are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmanas or the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas. And therefore, they are meant to help these higher classes by bodily labor. In this way, there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement amongst all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. That is the present position. Now Prabhupada interjects. He says, yes, that is everywhere. So we need to cooperate. If there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement amongst all the different orders of society, and when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. Prabhupada says, that is everywhere. Even, excuse me, in our society, Krishna conscious society, if there is no mutual cooperation, then it will fall down immediately. Because I'm reading this because we say, yeah, we need to surrender, but, you know, ISKCON, this and that, and we start to criticize. But, you know, I'm going to try and give you some solutions here. So, as Rupa Goswami advises, the first thing is enthusiasm. Utsahan. Like I said, it's mainly for my own purification. Utsahan deryat tatat karma pravartanat. This is from Nectar of Instruction. Tatat karma pravartanat satovrite. Sadhu sangha satbir bhakti prasidyati. If you want actually to make progress in our devotional life, the utsahan, enthusiasm, is the first thing. If you are lacking enthusiasm, then you should rest instead of making too much agitation within the mind. Of course, this is very interesting. When I read it, I thought immediately sleeping. But Prabhupada doesn't mean that. I'll read on. He says, if you cannot find out, he says, something has dropped in the water, in the river. You cannot see the things dropped within the water by agitating the water. Just stand still for some time. As soon as the water is settled up, you'll see the things as they are. So you understand the example, right? You drop something and then the dust comes. And then you just have to stand still and wait, like for instance a ring or whatever, and then you can see it and you can pick it up. As soon as the water is settled up, you see the things as they are. So, as soon as our enthusiasm is agitated, it is better to sit down in any temple suitable and chant Hare Krishna. This is Prabhupada's definition of taking rest, chanting Hare Krishna. There's nothing wrong with taking a little extra rest if you need it. It is also good. There is no question of being disappointed. After all, we commit so many mistakes. That is human nature. To err is human. That is not fault. But try to rectify with cool head. That is required. So Prabhupada is suggesting if you are not enthusiastic, Prabhupada says as soon as our enthusiasm is agitated, then we can't see things clearly. So better to just take it easy, chant Hare Krishna, and try to rectify it with a cool head. That is required. So similarly, there are different classes of men in the society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. They should cooperate for the common cause. They do not know the common cause. The common cause is Krishna. For Krishna's service, we should submit to the immediate officer or commander. Just like soldiers. Soldiers, there is no question of discrimination. Whatever is ordered by the commander, immediately done. That's it. And he says, go on, and they read. It's not enough time now to read it, because I want to read something else. Because now this is the crux. Because here Prabhupada says, you submit to the immediate officer or commander. So basically means the temple authorities, or whatever authority you're working on. And then Prabhupada says, we don't want to hear this. Just like soldiers. And the Prabhupada says, there's no question of discrimination. Whatever is ordered by the commander, it's immediately done. So especially in the so-called old days, ISKCON was run like that. And then some mistakes were made, like Prabhupada said in the beginning of the lecture. And then he says the thing will go down. But it doesn't mean that this doesn't work. And also things have changed. Because that is what I want to share now with you, and then I'll stop. That is what this discussion is about. Let me see if I can find it. This is about... hold on. About this question that, you know, what if the authority is not, what if the authority is not so qualified? And of course, that is always our fear. That, but this authority is not really qualified, so then why I should follow him? So this is a big problem of the mind, because again it's the accepting and rejecting. I'm going to accept this authority. I'm going to reject that authority. So that won't work. You know, we have to submit, because then the mind will be peaceful. That's the whole idea. That means surrender to Krishna. That's the whole solution. So here Gurudas. You know, of all devotees, Gurudas is one of the first devotees. If there is a devotees who are not yet purified, if the devotee is not yet purified, why is the temple president a representative of you? If we are not at the purified stage, then why is the temple president a representative of yourself? Prabhupada, to carry his order, that is purification. If you create your own atmosphere, then you become impure. If you simply carry out the order of your spiritual master, then you will be benefited. If you do your own business, that is not good. You cannot do anything which is not ordered by your spiritual master. Of course, everyone should have sense. It is not that we are all dull stone. Unless it is moved, it cannot. You have got moving power. But the basic issue should be to carry out the orders of the spiritual master. That is your president. Otherwise, you are not. So I'll just explain a little bit. Is that the main principle that I explained in the beginning is that we don't want to follow authority, because that is where it went wrong in the beginning. And that is, Prabhupada is stressing that time and time again. We must do that, otherwise everything will be a chaos. At the same time, he says, we're also not dull stone. He will elaborate a little bit more on that later, because of Harikas, because Harikas is going to now really kind of grind Prabhupada, asking more and more questions. But the idea is, the thing I wanted to share with you is that sometimes you can point things out, but you have to do it in the mood of a humble servant. If you really see things going wrong, then you can make suggestion. But you have to be able to accept that if the person in charge says, no, it's okay, to accept that. Because if you start arguing, then it will be just a chaos. But, you know, you have to use your intelligence with that. And then ultimately also, because now here Prabhupada says the spiritual master will solve it. But, you know, we need to have some faith in the GBC. And sometimes people say, yeah, the GBC is only managerial. But that is, it's mentioned like that in Prabhupada's final will. But all these people all these devotees are spiritual. And they're only discussing spiritual matters. The whole society, Krishna conscious society, is spiritual. So of course they're also spiritual authority. So there's really no alternative. We must accept that. And if we want to change things, then that's what Prabhupada always taught us. You change yourself. You give the example. And there's ways to talk to the GBC, to give them certain things. So that is how Prabhupada set it up. We just must accept it. There is really no alternative. And if we really see things going wrong, then we have to take responsibility. But again, try and do it in a humble mood, a mood of servant. Anyway, I'll just, I want to finish this and then I'll stop, because it gets really interesting now because of Hari Kesh. Hari Kesh, sometimes we have the experience of someone in authority who is obviously not following your instructions. Prabhupada, sometimes we have the experience someone in authority who is obviously not following your instructions. Prabhupada, that you have not to judge. Hari Kesh, Prabhupada, you are not to judge. You should know that this man is appointed and he gets here by spiritual process. I must follow, you cannot judge him. Hari Kesh, Prabhupada, that is not your business, judging. Hari Kesh, then we simply wait for further instructions from you and keep no further instructions, Prabhupada says. Hari Kesh. Prabhupada, so long he is president, you must follow him. If he's wrong, that will be corrected by the spiritual master. Or, like I said, the GBC. Hari Kesh, right. Prabhupada, you cannot correct him. Otherwise, obedience is the first discipline. So that is the whole meaning of disciple. Disciple means discipline. Obedience is the first discipline. If you do not obey the representative authority, then there cannot be any discipline. Then everything will be topsy-turvy. In other words, Kali Yuga. Just Kali Yuga means quarrel. You would rather have us follow the temple president, Prabhupada, yes. And then here Prabhupada says something that my mind really gets like, jai. Prabhupada says, if he's wrong, he will come out. And we've seen it actually. You know, people that were in big, big positions, you know, it at some stage it all crumbled. I don't want to call any names, but it's the older devotees, they know who I'm talking about, you know. So, you know, we just have to have faith. And the devotees, generally, who serve them humbly, they're generally still here. So we just have to have that faith that Krishna is in control, GBC is responsible, and that somehow or other Krishna will rectify it and that they will come out. Hari Kesh. Prabhupada. So the steps will be taken by the spiritual master, or like I said, the GBC, because Prabhupada says the GBC is my representative. You cannot do not try to rectify. Hari Kesh. Our advancement is the same, Prabhupada. Our advancement, yes, Hari Kesh, is going on, Prabhupada. You follow. Evam parampara praptam. Gopi bartu pada kamala yor das das anudas. Servant of the servants, of the servant of. Then this is our. That is the consideration. Then Gurudas goes like that. Anyway, then it goes on. It's quite still interesting, but we run out of time. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu? Well, I mean, these things are describing material nature, and material nature is very difficult to understand. And Lord Brahma says that nobody can really understand it. And these are just different ways to describe it. So that's why I just generally just stick to what Lord Krishna says. It's very clear, it's very easy to understand. And Jad Bharat, he's just giving more details. It's more intricate, and you can study it more closely. Ultimately, to say it's just words, it's a little bit disrespectful, but it's just a description of the material energy. And ultimately, like I said in the beginning, it's not so important. If you just follow this process, and if you really want to dumb it down, you just chant Hare Krishna. But you know, some knowledge should be there, but even just chanting Hare Krishna, it's enough. And everything, ultimately, the Dhami Buddhi Yogam Dham, everything will be revealed. And the main thing, I know one devotee, and she's always saying, we're not the body. This is a quote that is underestimated, you know. We should just realize we're not the body, and then everything will become more and more clear, because that's the whole essence of what time and time again is explained, that you're not the body, and it's explained very scientifically, so that we can, you know, really understand it, how it works. Well, yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky, because it's a subtle body. And the way I understand it, it is just contaminated. Because the subtle body goes from one body to the next. You leave the gross, and the mind, intelligence, and false ego travels along. That is why this karma is honest, because it's related to the subtle body. But the way I understand it, that subtle body gets purified. Mind gets purified, intelligence gets purified, and the ego, as was here quoted, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das and Das and Das. I'm the servant of the gopis, of the servant of the servant of the gopis. That, as soon as the ego understands that, then it becomes real ego. Then it gets purified. Because that is a little bit where the Mayavadis say, no, everything gets gone, everything finished. That we call spiritual suicide. The Vaishnavas explain, we remain our individuality. It just gets purified. We need to get the wireless mic. We need to get the wireless mic. Thank you very much. Okay, anything else? I think it's time, huh? Okay. You have a question? Yeah. Now the way I understand it is we need to completely give it up. I mean that's how I studied it a little bit, and that's the, what do you say, conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Karishya Vachanam Tava. I will do whatever you say. That is what Arjuna says to Krishna. Krishna leaves him the choice. Now you can do what you want, but the idea is that we just surrender to Krishna, and like I explained, we surrender to our authorities. But Prabhupada says we're not dull stone, so we can use intelligence. But there should always be this mood, and that is what Prabhupada was explaining in the lecture, of cooperation. So if there is this mood of cooperation, and then there is this Ekaha Kuru Nandana, this one-mindedness of serving Krishna. So there's not really accepting, rejecting. It's just serving Krishna. We're all cooperating. We're trying to do it as best as possible. So there's not... I mean, the way I understand it, in that sense, accepting, it's not really there. Although there is intelligence, so different varieties. Okay, now we're getting in hot water. No, but that is not on the ultimate level. The pure devotee doesn't say this is material, this is spiritual. He just accepts everything. That is the level that we need to obtain. And the way to do it is just simply surrender to Guru. Then it becomes all very simple. You don't have to accept, reject. I just do what my Guru says. Finished. No more accepting, rejecting. So the ultimate stage, this is how I understand it, is it needs to be given up. Yeah, but that's the surrender. That's the final exception, and then there's no more accepting and rejecting after that. It's just surrender. It's just listening to what my guru says. That's it. Yeah, exactly. You had one final comment? Okay. That's it? No, but like you said, that is a preliminary stage of surrender. When there is full surrender, the way I understand it, there's not really accepting and rejecting. It's just following, you know, what Radharani says. You know, you just do it, finished. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not confusing. Generally, it's not confusing. Oh, do I have to accept or reject? No, you just follow whatever my authority says, finished. So there's no, do I have to accept or reject? Is this a good devotee or that is a bad devotee? No, on the pure level, there is no such thing. Yeah, we're not dull stone. That's all right. Yeah, but you're not going to consider, am I going to reject this or accept this? No, how can I follow this instruction? That is how the intelligence is going at it. And maybe I don't understand it, I can ask a question. But it's not like, shall I accept this instruction or reject it? Spiritual life, that is material life. Okay, well, you got 20 more seconds. Huh? Now, independently thinking means... No, I'm sorry. Independently thinking means you open a temple and you go to the authorities and like that. Not that the GBC has to babysit you. Independently thinking doesn't mean, you know, I can do whatever I want. That is a misconception. I have to be very strong on this because I'm from Amsterdam and this was time and time brought up again, independently thoughtful. That's not generally how Prabhupada explained it. I would explain it, you open your own temple, you go to the municipality, and you think for yourself, not that you can just, you know, pick and choose whatever the spiritual master orders. That is not independently thoughtful. That is just, I mean, sorry, but that's just rascaldom. So, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but I just want to make that clear, because people all the time, they bring this up independently thoughtful, and that is not what it means. That's not how Prabhupada used it. No, no, I know, but I just want to stress this point, very important, because that is how you use it, and that is not how Prabhupada used it. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I this was the whole point of my lecture, and like I said, I am preaching mainly to myself. This got me in so much trouble that I am basically talking to myself, so please don't take it personal. I hope you don't mind. So Tribhanga, you have the final comment. Please save me. I again got myself in hot water. Please excuse me. I just can't help myself. It's a gradual process. So let us just take breakfast and be peaceful. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.